All right, well, this morning, again, it is such a privilege to be here and to share with you. But I want to start out, we have been, as we have in both churches, we have been studying Blood Covenant. And I have just been so encouraged by this. It's just been such an awesome study for me just to remember what God did for us through His shedding of the blood on the cross. I just think about the covenant that we have. When we sing, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. And the power that is demonstrated by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the things that we have because of what Jesus did for us in the blood. And just be able to share those things and to talk about those things. And I just think it's encouraging that we do that. We just talk about our love and the great things that God has done for us. And so this morning, as we kind of close out this series on Blood Covenant, I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 53, and I want to read what He has done for us. All right? And this, in Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 6, I'm going to read it out of the New King James, and then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, and then we're going to begin to discuss it just a little bit before we partake of communion this morning. And so it says in Isaiah 53, starts out in verse 3, says, "He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Father, we thank you, Lord, for the good things that you have done for us. And Father, as we read this particular passage describing in Isaiah, Lord, many years before Jesus went to the cross, but describing what he was going to do for us. And Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray that this morning, Lord, as we look at this verse, Lord, that you would remind us once again of your good things that you have done for us. All that you have done. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Father, we give you thanks for that. Give us understanding and give us discernment, Lord God, as we read these verses today. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to read it to you out of the Amplified version. And it says in the Amplified, "He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or even esteem him or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains and punishments. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken and smitten and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquity. The chastisement needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was on him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has made to light on him the guilt and iniquity of us all." Now, I'm going to talk about some things today and maybe read some things that will go contrary to this. Because if Jesus wouldn't have done this, we would have no salvation. We would have no hope. You know, we read things and we hear things like were mentioned today about the shooting over in front of this church and the many other shootings that were going on in churches or around the country and things like that. And we wonder, how could people do that? But if you stop and think about this, but for God, you could be that too. You could be right there. Without knowing what God has done for you, that could be you. And so this morning, as we partake of communion and we reflect on the things and the blessings that God has done for us, I know that this thought has been going around in my mind, and I've been talking with Lisa about it on our vacation and things like this, and the thought that is, who's the first person you want to see when you get to heaven? Well, see, most people will say Jesus. If you're in church and you know that's the right answer. That's always the right Sunday school answer, okay? Jesus is always the right answer. So just remember that. If you ever ask a question, Jesus is the answer, all right? So that's the answer. But you know what? When I sit with people at funerals and preparation for funerals, that's never the answer. That's never the answer. It's always somebody else. And my thought, as we've been discussing this, my wife and I have been discussing this, is not because they don't want to see Jesus, it's but because they know their loved one personally. They have a relationship with that person. And they're going to miss that relationship. They're going to miss that contact with that person. And my thought is, do we forget what Jesus has done? I know we all got the Sunday school answer, but do we forget sometimes what he did for us, how he took my place, and what happened to him on the cross, what happened to him going to the cross was all meant for us, was all meant for me, all meant for you. Am I right? That's what we deserved. So as we partake of communion, I pray that it never grows old and redundant, I guess, in our practice of worship. Because when we allow it to grow redundant or just this is what we do, then all of a sudden, we've taken our eyes off of what he did and put them on something else. Maybe it's time. Oh, we don't have time for that. Maybe we don't have space for that. God wants us to keep Jesus the main thing. And what Jesus did for us as the main thing. So I took a little bit of liberty. I hope you're okay with this. But I took a little liberty and I rewrote Isaiah 53 in the first person, as if Jesus didn't go to the cross. Now we all know that he did, okay? So please do not misunderstand this, all right? I am not saying this is happening to us. This is if Jesus did not go to the cross. All right, so you're still going to love me after I read this, right? Okay. And all right, starts out in verse 3. It says, I was despised and rejected by men. I was full of sorrow and acquainted with grief. People hid, as it were, their faces from me and wouldn't look at me or even associate with me. I was despised and looked down on by all people. Surely I deserved and had to bear my own grief, sickness, weakness, depression, and carry my own sorrows. It's like God said, this is what you get because of your sin. I thought all the wrong I was going through was because of my sin. What God did for me was not enough, so I had to pay more to cover up what the cross didn't do. I was wounded and broken, sad and depressed because of my sin and rebellion towards God. I was suffering night and day on the inside. I was torn up and suffering in my thoughts. Everything I tried to do to find peace didn't work. It was only temporary. It didn't matter what I did. I walked around sick, sad, and broken. I started going around doubting everything God said, and I began to cause others to doubt with me. I felt that all I was going through was my fault, and there was no way out. Now, again, that's if Jesus didn't go to the cross. That's where we would be. And how many of you know people like this that are struggling night and day with guilt and condemnation? They might not put it in the religious terms that we do, or like this would have put it, but they struggle nonetheless. But I want to read another verse to you in Romans chapter 5. I am so glad for Jesus. That's just the 12 o'clock whistle for those of you from Odessa, okay? So they're not gonna come in here in a minute and arrest us. So, Romans chapter 5. I want to read this, and I'm going to read down from verse 12 down through the end of the chapter. And I know we all know this and have read this, but I want you to think about it as we read it again, and what Jesus did for us. And it starts out in verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law there was in the world, or there was, for, excuse me, let me start 13 over. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is the type of him who was to come. But the free gift, I want you to catch that phrase, the free gift. It's repeated several times in here. The free gift that is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounds to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness which reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when I put Isaiah 53 and Romans chapter 5 together, the free gift is what Jesus did on the cross. The free gift that he gave us was taking upon himself my sin, my sickness, my shame, my guilt, my anything you can think of that you have ever dealt with, he took to the cross. And he paid the price for that so that I can walk in grace. I can walk free from that guilt and shame. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. The work that Jesus did on the cross for us is something that you and I as believers need to be able to just have a conversation about. The blessed work that he did for us. And just enjoy that. It's so much fun. When we talk about what communion is all about, and yes, every one of you can tell me probably what the bread represents and what the cup represents. We all know that. But let's sit down sometime and have a conversation of what that did for you. Personally. Personally, what did that do? And as we begin to make this a personal experience with God, and we realize that he actually took my place, as Romans said here, he said, the result of sin was condemnation. How many have ever felt that? Okay, we've all been there. The rest of you that aren't going to raise your hand just are in denial. So, condemnation comes when we miss the mark, when we sin. But God sent his son into the world because he loved us so much that we could have life and life to the full. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we use this particular passage a lot when we talk about communion. And this is Paul's experience with God as Jesus showed him about communion. And he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Now you realize Paul was not there at the Last Supper. He wasn't there. We don't even have record of him ever meeting Jesus in person. So, as far as we know, he wasn't even in Jerusalem that we know of when Jesus was crucified. But here he says, I received this from the Lord. So, what should our relationship be like when we experience communion? What have we received from the Lord? What are you receiving from the Lord personally? See, this is taking it to another level, another step that we need to receive from God. And Paul goes on and he says that I received this from the Lord. I also delivered it to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, I was reading that in the Amplified Version. And in the Amplified Version, it says, when you do this, call me affectionately to remembrance. Call me to remembrance out of love. Call what I did for you to remembrance because of this personal, affectionate love that we have one for another. Then he says, for often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner, in a manner where you're not recognizing what he's done for you. When we partake of the communion and the elements of communion, and I realize this is a cracker and a cup of juice, but I also need to recognize what he's done for me. What he did for me in taking away my guilt and my shame, taking away the condemnation of sin, taking away all of the things that pertain to that, and receiving what Jesus did for me, receiving that for us. You see, now it becomes more personal because now it's God, you took away that guilt because of what I did, and you know what you did. God, you take that guilt away because I cheated on my spelling test in third grade. And I still think about that. God, you took that guilt away, that shame away because of the blood. But for God, where would we be? But for God, you could sit there and you could, in your imagination, just imagine where you would be without God. Some of you probably, in your imagination, would not be here. What I mean, be alive. Because I've talked to many people that, I can't believe I made it this long. I did so many things. There's no way I could make that without God. I should be dead by now. Accidents, gunshots, things that just should have, but for God, didn't. So this morning, I want to take communion with you, all of us together, and remember what he's done for us. I mean, I think this is a God thing because Lisa and I didn't talk before service, and what she said about remembering what God's done to the scriptures that have been read, we need to remember what Jesus did for us. Everything that we deserved. How many used to say when you were kids, oh, if mama finds out, I am going to be, and you could fill in the blank. You see, Jesus took our place. So all of the punishment that we think we should have gotten and we think we deserve, He's already taken care of that. He's already taken care of that. And that to me is such a comfort to know that Jesus paid it all. He took care of it. So I want to sing that song, Jesus Paid It All. I'm going to have the men come, and we're going to, worship team, you want to come first because we don't want a collision up here. Now, ushers, would you come? And we're going to have the ushers come, and we're going to partake of communion. As we sing, go ahead and we'll pass the communion out and just hold on to it until we've all received, and then we'll partake together, okay?
I think this is God ordained. This is hard for me to share, but I need to. The way you started out the sermon was a description of me 36 and a half years ago when I lost my husband. I lost him on our son's 10th birthday. My twins weren't even 12 years old. And I knew God was on his throne. I knew he was in control. I didn't doubt God, but I was angry. And I said, when I die and get to heaven, I want to see Mark, and I don't give a rip whether I see you, Jesus. That was exactly what you described, Bill, in your sermon, and that's where I was at. I remember where I was standing in the yard when I told him that. And he responded to me. And he said, you're not going to understand, but I cannot give you back your husband, Mark. He says, but I can give you back all the pain that I have taken from you. And in just a split second, I had a pain in the gut of my body that doubled me over and put me to the ground, and it was black as you could. I didn't know black was so dark. And that quick, I raised my right hand and I said, forgive me, God, and take me back. And that quick, he grabbed my right hand and he pulled me out of that chasm of black. And he took back all the guilt and pain that he let me experience that he had taken from me. And you know what? He also took all the anger that I had at that point. And I was never angry at my God again for losing my husband the way I did. And so when Bill says, we do not understand or know how much God has taken from us, we just don't. We just don't understand. Jesus has taken it all, and it is such a mighty, mighty thing. Communion has never been the same for me since. It is so, so powerful.
Amen. Thank you, Amy.
Now indeed I find thy power. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Again, Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Father, as we hold this piece of bread in our hands, we are reminded of the body that was broken for us. We're reminded that as sin takes its toll on our body, and Father, there's many, many people that I've talked to that wish they wouldn't have lived the life they did just because of the toll sin takes on their body. But Lord Jesus, you took that. You took that. You paid that price for us in your body. Lord, you took the price and the payment, the penalty, Lord, that sickness brings into our physical body. The crippling diseases, Lord God, you took. Lord, the physical deformities you took. Lord, the aches and the pains that we carry in this physical body, you took and went to the cross. And Lord, we thank you so much for that. And Father, this morning as we partake of this, we are once again reminded of the complete work. As we just sang that verse that says, when I stand before the throne, complete in him. Lord, we proclaim today as we partake of this bread, we proclaim what Jesus did for us, knowing that everything was taken care of. He didn't leave anything for us to bear or to carry or to deal with. Lord, you took it to the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for the work you did. In Jesus' name, Ichi-O. And Father, I hold in my hand this cup, signifying the blood that was shed for my sin. Father, Hebrews tells us, Lord God, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And Lord, that the blood of bulls and goats was not able to remove the guilt and the reminder of the sin. In fact, Lord, the blood of bulls and goats was a reminder of our sin. But the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, removes even the consciousness of sin. And Lord, yes, we have sinned. We're not denying that. But Lord, the blood is greater than the sin. The blood is greater than the trespass. The blood is greater than the iniquity. Lord, the blood is greater than any sin that anyone in this room could name. The blood is greater. And so, Father, this morning, we stand here as one body before you, and we thank you for the blood that this cup represents and what that blood can do in each and every one of our lives. And Father, we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, drink ye all.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He was